From this, we may extract a third kind of duality, STO duality. In this kind of duality, associated with something called conspansive duality, objects can be dualized to spatiotemporal transducers in the physical universe internally simulated by its material contents. M equals R, MU and holology are all at least partially based on duality. The principle of attributive, topological, descriptive, state syntax duality. Where points belong to sets and lines are relations between points, a form of duality also holds between sets and relations or attributes, and thus between set theory and logic. Where sets contain their elements and attributes distributively describe their arguments. This implies a dual relationship between topological containment and descriptive attribution as modeled through Venn diagrams. Essentially, any containment relationship can be interpreted in two ways: in terms of position with respect to bounding lines or surfaces or hypersurfaces, as in point-set topology and its geometric refinements, XT, or in terms of descriptive distribution relationships, as in the Venn diagrammatic grammar of logical substitution, D. Attributive or TD duality is reflected in the fact that sets and logic are described by the same algebraic structure, Boolean algebra, which expresses their dual relationship in the relationship between its two operations. Expressed in set theoretic terms, these operations are union and intersection, or of both. In logical terms, they are OR and, OR and OR are related as follows. The union, AAB, of two sets A and B consists of all and only the elements that belong to either A or B or both, XAB, XFA, XB, while the intersect, A or B, of A and B, consists of all and only the elements that belong to both A and B, XAB, XFA, XB. This kind of duality is well known. It relates to the fact that every attributive statement defining a relation of predicates can be rephrased as a statement about sets, and vice versa. But the relationship of set theory and logic is even more interesting than this, for each has a particular representational affinity for just one of these operations. That is, set theory tends to focus on objects, sets, and elements, while logic tends to focus on attributes or informational boundary constraints that objects must satisfy. Thus, set theory ultimately defines sets in terms of the objects they contain, while logic tends to define them from the outside in, on the intersecting boundary constraints to which they conform. The difference hinges on the univalent not functor, on which complementation and intersection, but not union, are directly or indirectly defined. For example, while it is easy enough to identify an individual element or set by constructively naming or enumerating it, e.g. X, identifying its complement often requires that its name be used as the basis of a restrictive constraint that can be applied across an entire finite or infinite context in one attributive operation, e.g. not X. The duality relationship holding between names and constraints is nicely captured by De Morgan's laws, A, AB equals AB, and AAB equals AB, which express it by permuting the objective and attributive operations en moi. Because states express topologically while the syntactic structures of their underlying operators express descriptively, attributive duality is sometimes called state syntax duality. As information requires syntactic organization, it amounts to evaluation of cognitive perceptual syntax. Conversely, recognition consists of a subtractive restriction of informational potential through an additive acquisition of information. TD duality thus relates information to the informational potential bounded by syntax, and perception, cognitive state acquisition, to cognition. In a Venn diagram, the contents of circles reflect the structure of their boundaries. The boundaries are the primary descriptors. The interior of a circle is simply an interiorization or self-distribution of its syntactic boundary constraint. Thus, nested circles corresponding to identical objects display a descriptive form of containment corresponding to syntactic layering, with underlying levels corresponding to syntactic coverings. This leads to a related form of duality, constructive filtrative duality. Constructive filtrative duality. Any set that can be constructed by adding elements to the space between two brackets can be defined by restriction on the set of all possible sets. Restriction involves the Venn-like superposition of constraints that are subtractive in nature. Thus, it is like a subtractive color process involving the stacking of filters. Elements, on the other hand, are additive, and the process of constructing sets is thus additive. It is like an additive color process involving the illumination of the color elements of pixels in a color monitor. CF duality simply asserts the general equivalence of these two kinds of process with respect to logico-geometric reality. CF duality captures the temporal ramifications of TD duality, relating geometric operations on point sets to logical operations on predicates. Essentially, CF duality says that any geometric state or continuous transformation is equivalent to an operation involving the mutual filtration of intersecting holological state potentials. States and objects, instead of being constructed from the object level upward, can be regarded as filtrative refinements of general, internally unspecified higher order relations. CF duality is necessary to show how a universe can be zero sum. Without it, there is no way to refine the objective requisites of constructive processes from nothingness. In CTMU cosmogony, nothingness is informationally defined as zero constraint or pure freedom, unbound telesis or UBT, and the apparent construction of the universe is explained as a self-restriction of this potential. In a realm of unbound ontological potential, defining a constraint is not as simple as merely writing it down. Because constraints act restrictively on content, constraint and content must be defined simultaneously in a unified syntax-state relationship. Conspansive duality. This principle was to some extent adumbrated by the following wry quote attributed to Arthur Eddington 38 regarding the expanding universe. "We walk the stage of life, performers of a drama, for the benefit of the cosmic spectator." As the scenes proceed, he notices that the actors are growing smaller and the action quicker. When the last act opens, the curtain rises on midget actors rushing through their parts at frantic speed, smaller and smaller, faster and faster, one last microscopic blur of intense agitation, and then nothing. Eddington's surreal vision accompanied a tongue-in-cheek proposal that the theory of the expanding universe might be replaced by a theory of the shrinking atom. It was thus a bit overdone for the sake of humor. Indeed, Eddington was not sufficiently interested in the idea to develop its implications beyond a very rudimentary level. However, it turns out that he was skirting the edges of an important duality principle. Cosmic expansion and ordinary physical motion have something in common. They are both what might be called ectomorphisms. In an ectomorphism, something is mapped to, generated or replicated in something external to it. However, the reality principle asserts that the universe is analytically self-contained, and ectomorphism is inconsistent with self-containment. Through the principle of conspansive duality, ectomorphism is conjoined with endomorphism, whereby things are mapped, generated, or replicated within themselves. Through conspansive endomorphism, syntactic objects are injectively mapped into their own holological interiors from their own syntactic boundaries. In the language of TD and CF duality, this shifts the emphasis from space-time geometry to descriptive containment and from constructive to filtrative processing. As a result, new states are formed within the images of previous states. Nothing moves or expands through space. Space is state, and each relocation of an object is just a move from one level of perfect stasis to another. This ties conventional motion, in which world lines are constructively created by additions of state in Minkowski diagrams, to differential endomorphism, in which the internal descriptive potentials of attributes are cumulatively restricted. A Minkowski space-time diagram is a kind of event lattice, in which nodes represent events and their connective world lines represent the objects that interact in those events. The events occur at the foci of past and future light cones to which the world lines are internal. If one could look down the time axis of such a diagram at a space-like cross-section, one would see something very much like a Venn diagram with circles corresponding to light cone cross-sections. This rotation of the diagram corresponds to conspansive dualization, converting a spatiotemporal lattice of world lines and events to a layered series of Venn diagrams. Diagram 11. In the above illustration, a spatial cross-section of a space-time diagram, blue line, is rotated toward the viewer and displayed along the time axis, blue rectangle. The result is a Venn diagram in which circles represent objects and events, or N1, airy interactive relationships of objects. That is, each circle depicts the entangled quantum wave functions of the objects which interacted with each other to generate it. The small dots in the centers of the circles represent the initial events and objects from which the circles have arisen, while the twin dots where the circles overlap reflect the fact that any possible new event or interaction between objects involved in the old events must occur by mutual acquisition in the intersect. The outward growth, or by conspansive duality, mutual absorption of the circles is called inner expansion, while the collapse of their objects in new events is called requantization. The circles themselves are called IEDs, short for inner expansive domains, and correspond to pairs of interactive syntactic operators involved in generalized perceptual events. Note the holological, evacuation, and mutual absorption of the operators. Spacetime can be illustrated in terms of a layering of such Venn diagrams, mutual contact among which is referred to as extended superposition. In the real world, the Venn diagrams are three-dimensional rather than planar, the circles are spheres, and layering is defined accordingly. Extended superposition atemporally distributes antecedent events over consequent events, thus putting spacetime in temporally extended self-contact. In light of the telic principle, see below, this scenario involves a new interpretation of quantum theory, sum over futures. Sum over futures involves an atemporal generalization of process, telic recursion, through which the universe affects on-the-fly maximization of a global self-selection parameter, generalized utility. In a Venn diagram, circles represent sets through their definitive attributes. The attributes represented by the circles are synetic, syntactically distributed, and homogeneous with respect to potential differences of state, and the attribute represented by a particular circle is uniformly heritable by the elements of the set represented by any circle inside it. In the spatiotemporal Venn diagram just described, the circular light cone cross-sections correspond to objects and events relating in just this way. Because quantum-scale objects are seen to exist only when they are participating in observational events, including their generalized observations of each other, their world lines are merely assumed to exist between events and are in fact syntactically retrodicted, along with the continuum, from the last events in which they are known to have participated. This makes it possible to omit specific world lines entirely, replacing them with series of Venn diagrams in which circles interexpand, interpenetrate, and collapse to points at each interactive generalized observational event. This scenario is general, applying even to macroscopic objects consisting of many particles of matter. The higher definition of the world lines of macroscopic objects can be imputed to a higher frequency of collapse due to interactive density among their constituent particles. The areas inside the circles correspond to event potentials, and where events are governed by the laws of physics, to potential instantiations of physical law or nomological syntax. Where each circle corresponds to two or more objects, it comprises object potentials as well. That is, the circular boundaries of the Venn circles can be construed as those of potentialized objects in the process of absorbing their spatiotemporal neighborhoods. Since the event potentials and object potentials coincide, potential instantiations of law can be said to reside inside the objects and can thus be regarded as functions of their internal rules or object syntaxes. Objects thus become syntactic operators, and events become intersections of nomological syntax in the common value of an observable state parameter, position. The circle corresponding to the new event represents an attribute consisting of all associated nomological relationships appropriate to the nature of the interaction, including conserved aggregates and forms of point-wise, state-wise, syntactic covering for all subsequent potentials. Notice that in this scenario, spacetime evolves linguistically rather than geometrodynamically. Although each Venn circle seems to expand continuously, its content is unchanging. Its associated attribute remains static pending subsequent events involving the objects that created it. Since nothing actually changes until a new event is substituted for the one previous, i.e., until a new circle appears within the old one by syntactic embedment, the circles are intrinsically undefined in duration, and are thus intrinsically atemporal. Time arises strictly as an ordinal relationship among circles, rather than within circles themselves. With respect to time-invariant elements of syntax active in any given state, circle, the distinction between zero and non-zero duration is intrinsically meaningless. Such elements are heritable under substitution and become syntactic ingredients of subsequent states. Because each circle is structurally self-distributed, nothing need be transmitted from one part of it to another. Locality constraints arise only with respect to additional invariants differentially activated within circles that represent subsequent states and break the holological symmetry of their antecedents. Conspansion thus affords a certain amount of relief from problems associated with so-called quantum non-locality. Because the shrinkage of an object within its prior image amounts to a form of logical substitution in which the object is Venn diagrammatically described or determined by its former state, there is no way to distinguish between outward systemic expansion and inward substitution of content, or between the associated dynamical and logical grammars. This is merely a restatement of attributive duality. Topological containment relations among point sets are equivalent to descriptively predicating truth of statements asserting containment, and on distribution relationships among state descriptors. In conjunction with the intrinsic symmetry of externally undefined systems, attributive duality eliminates any possible logical or geometric distinction between the outward expansion of a self-contained universe, as its contents remain static in size, and a logical endomorphism in which the universe remains static while the states of its contents are recursively substituted for previous states. It has already been noted in connection with MAP that where the external dimensions of a system are undefined, no distinction as to size can be made beyond the size ratio of the system to its contents. Consider a simple arithmetical analogy. 1/2 equals 1,000 or 2,000 equals 1,099,999 or 2,1999 equals, where the numerator and denominator of a fraction are both multiplied by a given number, the value of the fraction does not change. It is independent of distinctions involving the size of the multiplier. Similarly, the intrinsic proportionality of a self-contained system is independent of distinctions involving any external measure. This implies that with respect to a self-contained universe for which no external measure exists, no distinction can be made between the expansion of the system with respect to its contents and the shrinkage of its contents with respect to it. In fact, because that which is undefined cannot change, there is nothing definite with respect to which change would be possible. Apparent expansion of the container cannot be extrinsically defined, but implies a conspansively equivalent intrinsic shrinkage of its contents. Thus, conspansive duality relates two complementary views of the universe, one based on the external relative states of a set of objects, and one based on the internal structures and dynamics of objects considered as language processors. The former, which depicts the universe as it is usually understood in physics and cosmology, is called ERCU, short for Expanding Rubber Sheet Universe, while the latter is called USRE, ERCU spelled backwards, short for Universe as a Self-Representational Entity. Simplistically, ERSU is like a set, specifically a topological geometric point set, while USRE is like a self-descriptive nomological language. Whereas ERCU expands relative to the invariant sizes of its contents, USRE conspans, holding the size of the universe invariant while allowing object sizes and timescales to shrink in mutual proportion, thus preserving general covariance. This has certain interesting implications. First, whereas it is ordinarily assumed that the sizes of material objects remain fixed while that of the whole universe, ectomorphically, changes around them, conspansion holds the size of the universe changeless and endomorphically changes the sizes of objects. Because the universe now plays the role of invariant, there exists a global standard rate of inner expansion or mutual absorption among the contents of the universe. Synvariance, and due to syntactic covariance, objects must be resized or requantized with each new event according to a constant, time-independent rescaling factor residing in global syntax. Second, because the rate of shrinkage is a constant function of a changing size ratio, the universe appears from an internal vantage to be accelerating in its expansion, leading to the conspansive dual of a positive cosmological constant. Conspansive duality, The role of which in the CTMU is somewhat analogous to that of the principle of equivalence in general relativity, is the only escape from an infinite ectomorphic tower of turtles. Were the